So I've been on this journey with God for about a year now, and it started with what I thought was a really simple prayer. And I prayed one day and I asked God, God, would you give me an increase in faith? And I don't know that I really understood what I was asking when I prayed that prayer. And I don't know that I really thought through how he might answer that prayer. You know, there's prayers where we have a pretty clear idea, this is how God might answer this. And I don't think I thought this one through very well, because here's what I know. If you pray and you ask for patience, God just takes this big bucket of patience and he just dumps it on you, right? No, that's not what he does. What does he do? He gives you opportunities to be impatient, and we have to learn to endure for longer before we just lose it on somebody, right? So when I prayed, God, give me an increase in faith, what I was really saying was, God, would you take me to places where I don't have the answers? Would you take me to places where I can't rely on my strength or my abilities or my knowledge or my skills? Would you take me to places where I have to rely on you? I have to rely on your word. I have to rely on your promise, even if I don't see the proof of it. Will you take me there? And I'll tell you, God is so happy to answer prayers like that. But my year has not been easy. It's been full of moments where I've taken steps in obedience, when I've heard what God has told me to do, and it seems like I've failed over and over and over again. And so it's been a year now of kind of questioning, am I hearing you right? Because it seems like I'm taking these steps. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And then I'm just sinking over and over again. And so this is the place that I've been in, asking God, will you increase my faith? And I think sometimes we get the words belief and faith mixed up. Belief is just knowledge that something is true. I believe that these stairs are structurally sound, that they've been put together the right way, that they can bear weight. I believe that that is true. But faith is taking a step to prove that belief, right? So faith is not looking at these steps and saying, yep, they look structurally sound. Faith is this, stepping down and proving through an action that what I believe actually holds some truth to it. And so this is what I asked God to do. I've read this word. I believe this word. Now, will you show me how to walk this out so that I see the proof of it in my own life? Whoops. That's a really hard prayer. And I didn't even understand in the moment that that's what I was asking for. And so I told you a little bit about my passport issues, right? And so God's just been giving me these opportunities this year to really walk out faith before I've seen proof of things. And so thankfully God worked out all of our passport problems, and miraculously somehow in 2 days I had a passport in my hand and I was able to go on this trip. So I was like, thank you, Jesus, for all this favor that you have just given me when I really was kind of a dummy and didn't look at my passport until 5 days before we're leaving the country. And I wish that I could tell you that that was the last hiccup that I caused on our trip. But like I said, if you're leaving the country, maybe don't invite me. I don't usually make the trip easier. I usually make it more difficult. And so the second half of our trip, we're leaving from Italy and we're going to London. And my daughter has been so excited to go. She wants to see Big Ben and Buckingham Palace and all these places. But we knew before we left that you have to apply for this visa before you come into London now. So if you're going to London, come and see me. I know how to do it the right way now. So we have to apply for this visa. And I knew this before we left, but with all the chaos of my passport and packing late and getting to the airport late, I just forgot. And so the day before we're leaving for London, I'm like, oh no, I forgot to put in our applications for these visas to go into the UK. And everybody says, oh, it's so easy. You just scan your passport and in a minute you're approved. So I'm like, okay, good, I'm fine. So I open the app And it says, "We're so sorry. We're experiencing some difficulties." And I'm like, "Oh no." I'm like, "This is not good." And it says, "Try back in a few hours." And I'm like, "Uh-oh. Well, we don't have very many hours before we're leaving." So I give it a couple minutes and I try again, I try again, I try again. And about like the 100th time, I finally get in. I get our passports put in, I get everything taken care of, and I get the email that says, "We're processing your application." And I'm like, "Okay, we are good. Everybody said it's gonna take 1 or 2 minutes, we'll be approved, good to go. Thank you, Jesus, so much favor." So a couple minutes go by and I check my email and I'm like, "There's nothing there." A couple hours go by, I check my email, there's nothing there. And so now I'm starting to get a little bit worried, right? Because we're leaving the next day, and now I don't have what we need to be able to go. And so I've just seen God work so faithfully and work this miracle for me. And so I said, "Okay, like, I'm just gonna pray the same prayer." So I stop what I'm doing and I say, "Hey, Lord," it's me again. "Remember when you gave me all that favor like 3 days ago?" I don't know if there's like a time frame between the first dose of favor and the next dose, but I'm gonna need some more favor today. Like, I don't have what we need to be able to go. Can you work this out? And so what I didn't know at that time was that my daughter was also praying about the same situation, but she was doing it a little bit differently. So the next morning I wake up and I am like 1,000% sure. I've prayed, I've done everything I can, that answer is gonna be there. Nothing. We have no approval, and now we're within like 12 hours of going to London, and I'm like, "Oh no." So she walks in and she says, "Well, what are we gonna do?" And I'm like, "Well, your mom needs to be more responsible." But I said, "Well, we've done everything that we can do. I've put the application in, it says it's processing." And I said, and I prayed, and I asked God for favor, and I said, "Really, that's all I can do." And I said, "We just have to believe now that he'll do what we need him to do." And she told me, "Well, I prayed also, and God told me yes." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Well, God's not speaking to me right now. So you've heard a yes, and I've heard nothing. Let's go ahead and go with your answer." And I said, "So now we get this opportunity, right? We believe that God has spoken this word to you, that the word is yes. And so now we get to walk this out in faith. We believe all day long that we have the yes, even before we have it in our hand." And so that's what we did. We went all over Italy that day. We ate lunch, we ate pizza, we shopped, we ate gelato like 4 times that day. I mean, we experienced the day. And in fullness of faith, I only checked my email about 800 times. And every single time, we had nothing. And I am just like, "Wow, this is so wild that this is happening." So now we get to the airport. Our flight's leaving in a couple hours. We still are not approved. And the airline is telling us, "We can't do anything to help you. Like, this is a government issue. If you don't have the approval, you can't even get through security to get to your gate." And I'm like, "Ugh, I'm so frustrated at this point, right?" And so they're telling us, "You probably need to look at canceling your flight and like booking a flight home." And so I walk away and I'm frustrated because I'm like, "God, you told her yes. Well, where is it? Like, why would you speak that to her and then disappoint us and we're going home?" And so I walk away and I'm wearing this shirt that says, "In all things I will praise you." And so I'm like, "I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard to praise you, God, but I'm not seeing it right now." So I find a charging station for my phone because it turns out if you check your email 800 times in a day, your phone will die. And so every charging station is not working. So I'm like, the frustration is piling, right? I find one station that's working, so I plug my phone in, and all I can do is stand there and wait. And I'm talking to God, but this time I'm not asking for favor. I'm just being really honest with him. And I'm saying, "I'm disappointed in you, God. And I'm discouraged that you're not answering us. Like, we have faith. We are walking this out. We believe it, and we don't see it. I'm super discouraged. And you think, are you allowed to talk to God that way? And I think you can. I think you can, because the next minute, this girl comes up to me, and she's frustrated. She's like, I can't find a place to charge my phone. Nothing's working. And I'm like, oh, well, charge with me. Stand here with me. So she plugs her phone in, and I realize that she has a British accent. And so I ask her, you know, where are you from? And she says, oh, I live just outside of London. And I'm like, oh, that's so great. And she's telling us all these wonderful things we should do. This random girl is trying to give me her phone number. She's trying to give me her email. She's like, when you get there, call me and I'll take you all over the place. I'm like, who are you? Like, who does this? And so we talk for a little bit, and she's getting ready to leave, and I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm like, you know, thank you for talking to me, but I'm not sure we're going to even get to go. That doubt sets in. And I said, you know, we need this approval for these visas, and we just don't have it yet, and our plane's leaving, and I just don't know if we're going to make it. We might be going home. And she looks at me, this random stranger, and she says, don't give up on London. And I know that what she was saying was, don't give up on the chance to catch that plane. Maybe it'll come through. But what she doesn't know is that I know the year that I've been walking through. I know the position that I've been in over and over and over again, which is, God, I am walking in faith, and I'm like sinking every time. I'm taking a step, and then that step seems like it's falling through. I need something solid. And he sends this random stranger to me. And his word to me was not, don't give up on London. His word was, don't give up on me. And so, the only step in obedience that I could see at that point, the only option we had been given, was to cancel our flight. And so I'm having to tell her, like, this is what we're doing. We're canceling the flight. We're booking a flight home. And I'm texting everybody, you know, please be praying. It looks like we're coming home. But the truth is, if I did nothing, if I just waited there, then I would still be waiting there. Like, there wasn't another option. But if I canceled our flight and I booked a flight home, then I didn't need a visa anymore because I'm catching a connecting flight. We were going to take the exact same flight into London, and then we were going to sit in the airport for 12 hours and then catch a flight back to San Antonio. And so I'm reasoning with God, right? And I'm like, okay, Lord, like, we will take this step, and then while we're waiting for 12 hours, if you want to approve us during that time, we'll just walk out of the airport. It'll be great. And so we take this step. And it really, really was a hard step to take because it seemed like defeat, right? It seemed like giving up, like, we will book this flight home. And so we scramble through security, we scramble to get through passport control, and we're in this tiny airport, everything's taking forever. And we finally get on this shuttle, and the shuttle's gonna take us over to the gate to get on the plane. And so we get on this shuttle, and I'm like, whew, like, finally. Like, this is not how I wanted this to go, but at least we're moving, right? At least we're going somewhere. And so I open my email one more time, and guess what's sitting at the very top of my inbox? Approved. And I'm like, wow. You waited until the very last second, God, and it came after we had already taken the step that seemed like it was the wrong direction, right? We took this step backwards, and then he said, now I'm going to open the way forward. And so I look at Finn, and I'm going to call her up here. I look at Finn, and I say, look what we just got. And she squeals on this shuttle, right? Come on up here. She squeals on this shuttle, and she yells to the whole bus, and nobody knows us, we're going to London. And they're like, yeah, you're going to London. They have no idea what's going on, right? But we knew. We knew what we had walked through that day, right? And we knew what we had prayed, and we knew what we had believed. So she tells me at that minute, she goes, I want to tell you about my prayer. I had prayed for favor. It's pretty general, right? But you prayed something different. Will you tell them?
I prayed for an answer.
Yeah? You prayed for an answer, but you prayed pretty specifically, right? You said you needed something from God. What'd you need? You needed a word or a vision, right? Can you tell them? It's hard to stand up here. Can you tell them what you asked? You can do it. I needed a word or I needed a vision, right?
I need a word or a vision.
Yep. And she said, I need a prediction of what's going to happen. Like, how honest is that prayer, right? What did you, isn't that what you said? Can you tell them? And then what did God say? So how did you know he said yes? Just popped in your head, right?
Just popped in my head.
Yeah. And she said that a couple times she asked him again. Like, I think I heard yes, and I don't know where it came from. So she asked again, did I hear you right, God? Did you say yes? And every time, what did he tell you?
Yes.
Yes. And so then we walked in faith that day. But what happened that was so amazing is that now we look back, and now what do you believe about God?
That he is real.
That he is real. Y'all better celebrate that. You did it. You did it. Okay, now you can go to kids. She's been waiting to go to her church. She's also going to be the president one day, so y'all should vote for her whenever whenever she's on the ballot. Oh, sorry. She told me not to say that. But listen, her prayer was so specific and so honest, and I know she was nervous, but she really did pray that, God, I need a vision or I need a word. I need to be able to predict what's going to happen today. I need some security, right, about where we're going. If we're going home, tell me now so that I can start to prepare. If we're going to go, then give me hope so I can walk through the day. And that's what he gave her. He gave her the yes. And even better now that we walked through something that was really hard, because at the end, she says, now I know he's real. If he had just fixed it immediately, she wouldn't know that, because she didn't have to ask. She didn't have to walk without the promise in her hand. She didn't have to wait for it. She knows he's real. I know he's real because he talked to her. And everyone in that bus worshiped Jesus whether they knew it or not, because we were not celebrating getting on a plane. We're celebrating what he's done. Everybody worshiped. And so this is what an increase in faith really looks like. It starts so often with honesty. And you say, well, I don't know if I can be honest with God where I am. Yes, you can. I don't know if I can tell God that I'm angry or that I'm grieving or that I'm discouraged or that I'm lonely or that I'm confused. I don't know if I can tell God that. Yes, you can. He already knows anyway. Psalm 139 tells us he knows every thought before our brain has even figured out how to put those things together. He knows every word that's going to come out of your mouth before your brain has brought the thought to it. He knows everything about you. There is not a feeling or a situation. There is nothing that you could say or do that he is not prepared for, or that he doesn't anticipate already. Honesty, I think, is the key to us hearing from God clearly, because honesty for her was walking through a day just believing, hey, I'm going to answer this prayer. Honesty for her was just enjoy the day, right? Honesty opens the way for us to hear from God clearly so we can take a step in obedience. Honesty for me was, God, I'm discouraged, I'm upset with you, and I think you might have lied to my kid. Right? I'm not okay with that. And his step of obedience for me was cancel your flight. And as soon as I took that step and surrendered everything to him, then he said, now we're ready to move forward. Right? Honesty opens the way for us to see the step in obedience. And obedience gives us the chance to trust in God. Because obedience is hardly ever an easy step. It's something we're not prepared for. It's something that we're not really confident in or comfortable with. We have to trust him. We get to a place where we get to rely just on him and on his plan and the way that he wants to do it and the timing he wants to do it. And now we've learned to trust because it has nothing to do with me and what I can accomplish or what I can do. It has everything to do with what God accomplishes and what he does. This is how we grow in trust. And then trust always leads us to connection with God. And that's what he's always about. He is always, always after connection with us. And so here's this messy process of growing in faith. It sounds like such a pretty thing, but the reality of it is really messy. It's really hard. It starts with honesty and shows us the step of obedience, allows us to trust, and then brings us to a place of connection. So let me show you what this looks like in Scripture. We're going to be in Matthew 14. We're going to start in verse 22, and I just want to give you some context before we get into this verse. The disciples have just seen Jesus feed the 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Huge miracle. And they haven't just witnessed it, they've been participating in it. So they've been passing out the food, they've been collecting the food, they've been seeing this whole thing. They are in the ministry of Jesus, in the miracle, and at the end of the day, they are tired. Right? They're excited for everything that they've seen, but they are tired. And so we pick up in verse 22 with Jesus telling them to get into the boat and to cross the Sea of Galilee to go and get some rest. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. I don't normally use the Amplified Version, but I like the details in this. So I've got it on the screen behind me, or you can look it up. Or you might just want to listen because it's a really detailed story. So I'm going to read this from Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately he, Jesus, directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he sent the crowds away. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, 3 to 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus extended his hand and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him with awe-inspired reverence, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I think we can probably relate with where the disciples were. They've been with Jesus all day. He's the one who tells them, get into the boat. He's the one who says, cross over to the other side to get some rest. And if we know geographically, the Sea of Galilee was more like a lake. It should have taken those 12 guys about 2 hours to cross to the other side. So they were close. to rest. They were close to a place where they could just process the day. And it says that at 3 to 6 in the morning, this is now 8 hours later, 9 hours later, that they have been battling and they're not even halfway. They're not close to land on any side. So this is now 9 hours of rowing. I don't know about you guys, but I can row for about 2 minutes and then I'm like, done. I can't do anything else. 9 hours. And they're battling against this headwind. They're getting nowhere. And they're tired. And they're frustrated. And they're questioning, didn't Jesus tell us to get in this boat? Didn't he tell us to cross to the other side? And so like them, like me, sometimes when I am struggling in my own strength, Jesus comes to me in that moment, but it's hard for me to recognize him. And it's hard for me to hear him. And so he's very clear and direct with them because they're not sure of who he is. In the middle of a storm, it's not so easy to see and hear him. And he says a few things that are really important. He says, take courage, which in my translation is, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm here. You don't have to be afraid. In the middle of the storm, he comes and he says these words to them. Don't give up. I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. And so Peter is the one bold enough to be honest with Jesus. We start back with honesty. And he comes and he says, I'm not sure you are who you say you are. He's questioning him. His words exactly are, if it is really you, then prove it. And you say, can you be honest with Jesus with where you are and what you feel? This guy was just in ministry with one of the biggest miracles we've ever heard about. And now, a few hours later, he's questioning if Jesus is even real. Yes, you can be honest with him. Yes, you can tell him exactly where you are. And I know that because Jesus doesn't say, Peter, sit down. He doesn't say, Peter, shut your mouth. You don't know who you're talking to. Instead, he says, come. Yes, come to me. If this is what you need to be able to see who I am and what I have for you to do, come. Honesty opened the door for Peter to have a step in obedience. And that was a shaky step, you know it was, because he didn't ask Jesus to calm the storm, which I think is really interesting. He didn't say, Jesus, make this stop. He said, teach me how to walk on it. Teach me how to walk through it. And you know, in the middle of a storm where the boat's already rocking, like his step is like, okay, here I come, you know? And as soon as his foot didn't sink, but hit something solid, now his belief that's super shaky becomes a firm footing for his faith. His honesty opens the door for the step in obedience. And obedience, now we learn how to trust Jesus, because what we see is just a few seconds later, Peter is sinking, right? It says the effects of the storm come over him. Well, of course they frightened him, right? He didn't ask to step out onto calm seas. He asked to come out in the middle of a storm. Thunder and lightning and waves that are crashing, waters that are churning beneath his feet, wind and water that's hitting his face. Of course he's frightened. We're allowed to be scared. We're allowed to be frightened even in our steps of faith. And it's the most important thing that he recognized is that he could not walk through the storm in his own strength. We look at this story and we say, oh, poor Peter. You know, he took 2 steps and then he sank. That was it. Oh, little faith. But that's not the point of this story. The point of this story is not Peter's failure. The point of this story is God's faithfulness. Because it says, as soon as he started to sink, what did he say? Come get me. I'm sinking. Save me. And in this moment of weakness, when he is sinking and he realizes, God, I cannot do this on my own, his focus shifts. And now he doesn't need Jesus, the spectator, who's watching what Peter can do, because that's what he's really asked for in the beginning. Jesus, you watch, I'll walk on the water to you. He doesn't need Jesus, a spectator. He needs Jesus, the Savior. And that is who we need. And it says that when he called out this word, immediately, there is no hesitation that Jesus was with him, reaching in to pull him up. So this moment that looks like Peter's greatest weakness is not a moment of separation from God. It's the moment where he has the most powerful point of contact with God. That's going to build trust. Not because Peter made it so far, because we don't know how far he made it. It doesn't give us any details about how many steps he took. It doesn't give us any details about how far Jesus was. We do know that as soon as he called, Jesus closed the gap. And that's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. It doesn't matter how far we are or how far we've come. The second we call on Jesus to save us, he closes the gap and he is with us. That builds trust. Trust opens the door for connection. And that's what Jesus is always about, is connecting with us. He takes his hand, and you know at this point that Peter is clinging to Jesus, right? He's been sinking, he's pulled up, and he is clinging to Jesus now. And it says that together they walk back to the boat. It does not say that immediately the storm stopped. It says together they walk through the storm back to the boat. And that's important. They walked through the storm together, and when Jesus decided, when they sat back in the boat, that it was done, then the wind ceased. This place of connection is so important because Peter realized then Jesus has authority over the wind and the waves, but he also has authority over Peter. And for us, Jesus has authority over the storms in our life, but more importantly, he has authority over us, and he wants to be connected with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to be connected. They walk back into the boat, and then the storm ceases, and what does everybody do? They worship. Because of his failure, because of his trust, because of his step, now we see Jesus in a new way, and everyone worships. And so here's how I really know that God has grown my faith this year. It's not because I've figured out some equation, and now I know how to pray in faith and how to make things happen. That's not what's happened this year. What's happened actually is that I've prayed in faith for people to have miraculous healings. And I've gathered people and I've said, we're going to pray for this. Jesus wants to heal this person. Pray with me. And in fullness of faith, we pray. And I've gone to that person's funeral. Or I walk into a room and Jesus tells me, put your hands on that person. You have authority to heal them with my power. And I say, okay, I'm taking this step. I put my hands on that person, and I pray for healing, and I walk out of that room, and it seems like nothing's happened. My faith has not grown because I've seen results from my efforts. My faith has grown because in every single step, Jesus has been with me. And that is how we grow our faith. It turns out God's faithfulness has nothing to do with my efforts. His faithfulness does not depend on the outcome of my efforts and what I'm able to do. And failure does not disqualify you from God's kingdom. It might actually just be the foundation that faith is built on. And so for all of us today, storms are going to come into our lives. We're going to have to weather those storms. But the most powerful thing that we can realize is that Jesus is not asking us to learn how to navigate those storms on our own. He's asking us to trust him enough to connect with him and walk through them together. And maybe you need to hear this today. I know that I've needed this over and over this year. Is the words that Jesus gave the disciples in the storm are the same ones that he gives us over and over and over again in our storms. Even if it's hard to see him, even if it's hard to hear him, even if it's hard to know if he really is who he says he is, even if you're doubting, his words do not change. Don't give up. I am here. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. Jesus is with us. We do not need to be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. It starts with being honest. When we see the step in obedience, we have to take that step so that we can learn to trust him through a process that doesn't make sense. And at the end of that, we're always connected with him. Amen? All right, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who wants to connect with us, not just when we have things all together, but you want to connect with us during the storms of our life. We thank you that we can be completely honest with you, that we can tell you our frustrations and our fears and our doubts, our insecurities. We know that you know all of them and that you love us so much. You welcome our honesty so that we can see you more clearly, Jesus. When we hear or see that step that we can take in obedience, give us courage to take it. And as we step in obedience, help us to learn to trust you more. As we step into waters that we don't know how to navigate, and we step away from a shore that's safe and comforting. And as we trust you, Jesus, help us to know more than anything that we are connected with you, the one who has authority over all things, that you want nothing more than to be in relationship with us and help us and teach us how to navigate life together with you, not on our own. We thank you that this is true, that an increase in faith has nothing to do really with what I can do, and everything to do with who you are, Jesus. You are faithful. You are good. You are merciful and gracious and forgiving and kind. You are love, and you are God. And we believe those words. Help us to walk them out in faith, in proof of who you are. We love you so much, Jesus. And we thank you for this time today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.